Judges chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. And after a time, he returned to take her and turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. It is especially the words at the start of verse 8. After a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Turning aside. He turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Some time has passed, the text informs us, after a time. So some time has passed, and Samson makes yet another journey to Timnah. This is the big trip, because he is going down now to take this bride to be his wife. And the wedding festivities are about to take place, and he's going down for the wedding festivities. Those wedding festivities last in old times usually about 7 days. But before Samson enters Timnah, we read of this strange and marvelous incident in his life where he turns aside. Now, the story's recorded for us because it provides Samson with the riddle. And you know, he uses the riddle in verse 14, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. He uses this riddle at his wedding, and this riddle is a very important link in the chain that leads to the slaughter of the Philistines. The riddle is a very important part of that. And this story now is the basis of that riddle, how that riddle has come about. So that's why the Holy Spirit is informing us of this story. And that's why this story took place in God's providence. So it's a very important incident in Samuel and Samson's life. And so we have to look at the story, because we can get honey out of this story, just like Samson got honey and his parents out of the carcass of the lamb. I believe there's honey here for us as well. But the story commences with this turning aside. He turned aside. Now, we want to think about that. And I want to ask you, is that a good thing? Is it a good thing to turn aside? Or is it a bad thing to turn aside? And this turning aside in Samson's life, what do you think? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is he doing it inside God's will? Is he doing it outside God's will? Is he turning aside in the flesh? Is this a man turning aside in the flesh? Out of mere curiosity, is he turning aside in the flesh? Or does he have a good, perhaps even spiritual reasons for turning aside? Have you ever thought about that? I feel like giving you that as an essay to go home and write about. And the result might be interesting. So, but we're not going to give you the essay. We're going to give you the answer tonight. Trust in the middle of our sermon. So, is this turning aside good? Or is it bad? We should ask the text these questions. If Samson were here, you could ask him. Why did you turn aside, Samson? Well, he doesn't have to be here. And we don't have to ask him. Because, you see, the Holy Spirit tells us.
He turned aside to see. He turned aside to see. To see what? To see the carcass. To see the carcass of the lamb. Now, is that a good thing for a Nazarite to do? A Nazarite who can't touch the dead? Is that a good thing for the Nazarite to do? There are many turning asides in the Bible. The verb occurs very, very frequent throughout the Word of God. And there are turning asides in Scripture that are bad. There's no question. There are turning asides in Scripture that does dishonor God. And we have to say that, generally speaking, and usually in the Scriptures, turning aside is not a good thing. There are those who take hold of this verb, turning aside, and they seem to be quick, because usually it means a bad thing, and they seem to be quick to impute something bad here to Samson. There he goes again. He's turning aside. There he goes again. Way aside again, wandering about as usual, getting into mischief as always. And there are those who, again, they'll put a bad light on this on Samson. And it is true that it often is a bad thing in Scripture. Remember whenever Moses was in the mount? Whenever he was in the mount in the presence of God, and he was a long time in coming down to the camp of Israel, and the people in the camp of Israel, they were getting impatient and fed up, and how they went to Aaron and said to Aaron, "Make us gods. We don't know what's happened to this Moses." And Aaron, he foolishly said, "Break off all your earrings." And so he broke, all the earrings were collected up, and he made a molten image, and then he carved it, and there was a molten calf. And he said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, and we'll have a great festivity to this God tomorrow." And then you remember how Moses came down and how he was told by God. And the Lord said to Moses, "Moses, go down quickly. Israel's turned aside. Israel's turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them." So that there's an early use of the verb to turn aside, and it's a bad thing. Israel turned aside. They turned aside from the commandment. They turned aside from the way that I told them to go, because I told them to have no images, to make no images, and to have no gods before me. That's the way that I commanded them. And Moses, have turned aside. They've turned aside from the commandment. And so that's a bad turning aside. If you turn aside from the commandment, to turn aside from the commandment is always wrong. To leave the word, to leave the word is always wrong. To turn aside from what God says, to turn aside from his voice, that is always dishonoring to God. Whatever the reason for it, whatever the excuse that may be given, to swerve from the word of God is wrong and a dishonor to him. And Christians have done that. And not only have Christians done that, but even churches have done that. Congregations have swerved from what God has required and commanded. And even whole denominations have done it. I think of the Church of Scotland. And they allow sodomite ministers and lesbian ministers. And they've turned aside. They've turned aside from what God has commanded. And so that's a bad turning aside. And you know, years later, Moses, whenever he was preaching to the children of Israel, he recalled the incident. And he still reproached them for it. The reproach of it never went away. Even after years, yes, they were forgiven, but they still bore the reproach. They still had the scar of having turned aside and swerved from the ways of God. And he said years later, he recalled the event, and he said in Deuteronomy 9, he said, "I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God and made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord commanded you." So Moses didn't brush it under the carpet. Even years later, he reminded them of the terrible reproach. You know, if we swerve from God's commandments, the Lord will forgive us. But there'll always be the reproach of it. There'll always be the reproach of it in the memory of others and in our own memory.
as long as we live. So turning aside from God's word and stepping outside of it is wickedness. And then we're told about Samuel. I relate to you the story of Samuel. You remember that he was a good man, a good judge. He was a man of God from he was a child. But he grew old and he had sons. And he made them judges over Israel in his place. And you know what it says about his sons? It says they didn't walk in his ways, but they turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Now that was a total contrast to Samuel. You know, your sons can be totally different to you. Totally different. Samuel walked in God's ways, and Samuel didn't turn aside after filthy lucre. In fact, he told them. He says, I didn't take anything of you. And he didn't pervert judgment. He was a just judge. But these boys, they weren't the same. They swerved aside after things that they shouldn't have swerved aside after. And when you swerve aside after things, you become twisted. You become perverted. You don't see things right. And you don't do things right if you swerve aside from the ways of God. Now, we have to ask, is Samson swerving from God's commandment when he turns aside here? And then we have to ask, is he swerving aside after something that's bad when he turns aside here? Is he swerving aside after filthy lucre? Is he swerving aside after something to please the flesh? Those are questions we have to ask whenever we think about this in Samson's life. But God is very particular about this matter of turning aside. He says in Deuteronomy 5, verse 32, ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the left hand, to the right hand, or to the left. And you know, even whenever Israel was settled in the land, and God had well established them in the land, and they overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them even to the mountains of Judah, and he established his sanctuary in Jerusalem, and he cast out all the heathen before them, we read that they turned aside. They turned back, and they dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside, Psalm 78 says, like a deceitful bow. Like an arrow, you have a bow and an arrow, and you're aiming at the mark. But there's a twist in the arrow. And no matter how straight your aim is, and no matter how accurate your aim is, and you handle the bow right, because there's a twist, it always goes to a side. That's what makes us go aside. There's a twist in us. There's something wrong in us. And if there's something wrong in us, we'll turn aside. We'll turn aside. And we'll turn aside quickly. And we'll turn aside easily. And we have to guard against that. And we have to say, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. Take away the twist. Take away the stubbornness. Take away that which causes me to go astray. Don't let me turn aside like a deceitful bow. And then the expression is used even in the New Testament. You remember how the Apostle Paul said, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside. This is writing about New Testament Christians. They should have a good conscience. They should have a pure heart. And they certainly should have sincere faith. But he says some have swerved. Some have turned aside. And what have they turned aside onto? Paul calls it vain jangling. What's that? He asks. It's silly talk. Foolish talk. It's empty foolish talk. They've turned aside. They've left the pure word of God for pantomimes and for jokes and for entertainment. For foolish empty talk with no substance in it. And that's always a bad thing. And someone will leave the pure meat of the word and turn aside for entertainment.
vain jangling, dingling of bells, nothing of any edification or any substance in it. That's always wrong. It's always bad to do that. That's always dangerous. And worst of all, Paul even had to write, some are already turned aside to Satan. Imagine having to say that about some professing Christians, that they haven't just turned aside. They've turned aside to Satan. They've followed Satan. They're running after him. Of course, they're not running after him. They don't see him, and they don't think they're running after him. But he's led them astray. Whatever it is he's dangled in front of them, whatever it is that's been dangling at the run after, he's been the one dangling it. And they've turned aside after Satan, after the lion. These are turning asides that ought not to be named among us. We must continue in the right way, brethren and sisters, because that's how God leads us. He leads us in the straight way. The Bible says he led them in a right way. And we don't have to turn aside to the left or to the right. He led them in a right way that they might go to the city of habitation. And that's what God's doing. He's leading us in a right way that we might go to heaven. And we don't have to turn aside after vain jangling and after Satan and after filthy lucre. And we don't have to leave the commandments of God. We ought not. And it's a duty of ministers and preachers to teach the people the right way. If you read the Bible, you'll discover the right way. And you know not to go off the left or the right from it. But it's a duty of preachers to tell you the right way. You remember Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. I'll teach you the right way. That's what he said. I'll teach you the right way. And so it's very important. Remember how Peter also wrote in his epistle about those who have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. The Bible does say there is this going aside that's wrong. Leaving the old paths is always wrong. Always wrong. And the Bible says very clearly, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. But what about this turning aside of Samson then? Can we say this is a turning aside from God's commandments? Has he left the right way? Is he going after vain jangling here when he goes this course? Is he following Satan? I don't think so. This turning aside has given us something wonderful. And this turning aside give Samson something wonderful. Something wonderful. Give him honey. He got a blessing when he turned aside. He didn't get rebuked. He didn't get chastened. He didn't get stung. And he didn't get eaten by the lion when he turned aside. No, he had blessing. This is a turning aside that gets blessing. He gets something wonderful when he turned aside. We know the story of the killing of the lion, don't we? But there would be no story of what became of the carcass. There'd be no story of what became of the carcass. There'd be no gospel picture at all. We just thought the lamb was slain and that was it. And there wouldn't be this story in the Bible at all. We wouldn't have the story if he didn't turn aside to see. But he did turn aside to see. And he saw a wonderful thing. And if this story wasn't in the Bible, what we would lose? I tell you what we would lose if this story wasn't in the Bible. We would just think the carcass had rotted and disappeared. That's what we would think. But no, he turned aside. He turned aside to see the carcass and he saw this marvelous sight. He had something to see and he wanted to see it. And he was glad that he did see it. And we're glad that he saw it too. And we're glad that the Holy Spirit tells us it wasn't a bad turning aside at all. It was good. It was very good. In fact, he saw more than he thought he ever would see. He hadn't bargained for this at all. God had something for him when he turned aside. God had something good and wonderful for him when he turned aside.
For the man that turned aside to see the carcass, the Lord had a real surprise for him. A real surprise. So what I'm saying, brethren and sisters, is this is a good turning aside. This is the kind of turning aside that you and I ought to do often. So I'm saying there's no mischief here. He's led of God, and there's a blessing for him. This is the man in Hebrews 11. There's no mischief here. This has every appearance of the blessing of God. Not every turning aside from the path that we are on is necessarily bad. I think of Moses. He was on the path of keeping his sheep. He was on the path of being a good sheep farmer. But one day, he saw a bush burning, and it wasn't consumed. It was the Lord. The Lord had come. It was Christ. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked and he saw it all. And you know what he said? Did he say, "Oh, I'll just keep on the path here with my sheep and I'll go on my way"? Did he say that? No, he didn't. He said, "I'll turn aside. I'll turn aside to see this marvelous sight. I'll turn aside to see." And I tell you, he turned aside in the will of God. He turned aside to see Christ. He left the duty. He left what he was doing. And he didn't sin in doing it. And he turned aside to see the Lord. There's a good turning aside. Moses drops all when the Lord appears. And he turns aside. There are times, brethren and sisters, you have to drop all. There will be times when you'll have to drop all and turn aside. There are times when you're going to have to leave everything and turn aside just to get before the Lord. There are times when you'll have to do it. And this is one of these times. For Moses turns aside to see. And the Lord saw. The Bible says, the Lord saw that he turned aside. The Lord saw it. He says, "Moses, take off your shoes. I don't mind you turning aside, Moses. It's good that you turned aside. I'd be very grieved and displeased if you just walked on and ignored me. You've turned aside, Moses. But take off your shoes. Take off your shepherd's boots. You have to lay it all aside." And so he turned aside to see. And the Lord was pleased with that. And the Lord gave him a call. He got the call into the ministry because he turned aside. If he hadn't have turned aside, he wouldn't even have got the call into the ministry. If he wasn't prepared to leave those few sheep and go and see God, he wouldn't have led all Israel. He wouldn't have led all Israel. He'd still be leading sheep, but he turned aside. You see, that's the problem with sinners. The Lord appears, but don't turn aside. They just go on in their business. They go on in their ways. The Lord Jesus is preaching in this house. And men need to turn aside. They need to turn aside and come in and see. They need to turn aside and come in and hear. But the thing is, they won't do it. That's the problem with sinners. They can't turn aside from their wicked ways. They get all caught up in things. Caught up in the world and caught up in business and caught up in this and that and the other. And the devil gives them a big list of other things to get caught up in. And there's no time for their souls and no time for the Lord. And so Moses turned aside to see, and it was a good thing. It was something wonderful that he turned aside to see. And what I'm saying to you is, this is the same as Samson. He turned aside to see. He's not turning aside to see a living lion. He's not turning aside to see a living lion and to play with it. He's turning aside to see the carcass. He's turning aside to see the dead lion. And I say that's a good thing. That'll strengthen your faith when you turn aside to see the dead lion. When you turn aside to see what has become the head of the devil, if you turn aside to see that, it's a good thing. And so I'm saying, this seeing a dead lion, a slain lion, in this particular circumstance of Samson, even though he was a Nazarite, I'm saying to you tonight, it not only was a good thing, it was a very good thing. He's not too taken up with his wedding. Oh, he's going down to his wedding. He's going to have 7 days of festivity. You know, a man's happy when he's getting married. But he turns aside to see the carcass, even though he has such business at Timnah. Remember Joseph? Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was the mother of our Lord. Remember how he went down to Egypt and he was coming back up again up into Judah, and how he was warned of God in a dream, and it says he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. God warned him and he turned aside. Sometimes we have to turn aside at the command of God. We must do it. Not after Satan, but away from Satan. So what I'm saying is, not every turning aside is bad. Remember how the Lord Jesus said to his disciples? They were overworked, they were weary. So much coming and going. You remember how he said to them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Come ye aside from this work." And there are times when we have to go aside. We have to leave. We have to go aside to the will of God to see what the Lord is going to show us, to see what the Lord is going to do for us and with us. And so he turned aside. Samson turned aside, the Spirit of the Lord says, to see the carcass. Why does he want to see the carcass? Why is he even bothered? Why does he go aside to see the carcass? Why does he want to see it? What does he expect to see? Some bones? Rotten bones, maybe even they're gone. With the scavengers just having taken them, scattered them everywhere. The way bones get scattered when a ravening beast gets the prey. At the very most, all he would expect is a skeleton. But he wants to see the carcass. The Nazarite wants to see the carcass of the lion. He was drawn back to the place. It was a place that held memories for him, wasn't it? It was a place that was dear, in fact, in his memories. It wasn't just curiosity, brethren and sisters. That's what I'm saying. This isn't just fleshly curiosity. The Lord rewarded him for going aside to see. The Lord drew him back to that spot. And when he drew him back to that spot, he had a blessing for him. He had a blessing. Samson was blessed. I say the Lord drew him. He turned aside to see. It was the place where the Spirit of God came upon him. You never forget that, you know. The place where the Spirit of God came upon him. He went back to see the carcass. That's the place where the Spirit of God came upon him. That's the place where he saw the power of God. He needs to get back to that place. He wants to be reminded. He gets back to the place where he felt the power of God. Sometimes you need to get back to the place. If you're just not feeling you're with the Lord just the same, if you don't feel you just have the same power, then we need to get back to the place where we felt the power, where we lost it, where we knew we last had it. And Samson's going back to the place where the power was, where the carcass is. That's where he felt the power. And so he gets back to the place. It was the place where he had great deliverance. It's the place where he was saved. He got back to the place where he was saved from the lion. He has an attachment to the place where the bones lay. And I think this is good. I think this is all good. This has nothing to do with flesh. This is a spiritual action. If there's a flesh anywhere, it's up there in Timnah in the festivities. But before he goes there, he needs to renew his vow with God. He needs to get back to the place. He needs to be reminded the Lord is with him. And he goes back to the place where he knows the Lord was with him. The carcass. The carcass of the lion. That's the place where God was with me. I get back there before I go down and meet all these Philistines and do the business of deliverance. I'll get back there first. And he does that. He doesn't forget. All the wedding plans and the excitement, they're just going to have to wait. He puts them out of his mind. He can't forget the carcass. Brethren and sisters, there are things we must not forget. There are events in our lives that we must not forget. There are deliverances that we must perpetually remember. And sometimes we have to go back to the very place where God delivered us. You can't forget what God has done for you in the past. You can't forget your Ebenezer. And Samson doesn't forget. He's always remembering. We must never forget, and we must constantly thank God for former deliverances. Brethren and sisters, the place for us where the lamb was slain was Mount Calvary. The place for us where the lamb was slain was Mount Calvary. Where our Redeemer died. Where the Lord Jesus died. His heel was bruised. Yes, that is true. He died. But he crushed Satan's head. And we must always be turning aside to the cross. We must always turn aside to Calvary to remember the cross. Didn't the Lord Jesus say that? This do in remembrance of me. And there are some Christians that can't even turn aside from their Sunday lunch to remember the Lord's death. Turn aside to the place where the carcass of the lion lies. To the cross where the Satan's head was bruised. Turn aside to see the carcass. The slain Satan. Turn aside to see what God had done to the carcass. Turn aside to see. Come with me, the hymn writer said. Come with me. Visit Calvary. Turn aside. Come with me, visit Calvary where our Redeemer died. His blood now fills a fountain. 'Tis deep, 'tis full, 'tis wide. He died from sin to sever our hearts and lives complete. He saves and keeps forever those living at his feet. Come with me. Come aside. On the Lord's Day morning, come aside. Come, turn aside to see the carcass. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, we sometimes sing. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. He turned aside to see. And we need to turn aside to see the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Brethren and sisters, it keeps us right, doesn't it? Oh, before we go to the wedding festivities, we have to get to the cross. Before we go into that timna to do the work of God, we have to get to the cross. We must turn aside to Calvary. We must turn aside to the day when the Spirit of God came into our lives. The place where we received the anointing. The place where we were saved, maybe. Are the times when God came down and blessed our soul, sometimes we have to turn aside to them. The day that God shut the mouths of our enemies, the day that God dealt with the lion, we have to remember that. We have to remember that. Doesn't God often tell us, remember the days of old? Remember the days of old? And he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. And this is what happened in Samson. He's walking down to Timnah. You think all is in his mind is his wedding, but he's walking down to Timnah. You have to remember the works of the Lord of old. And he turns aside to see. That's why we should read history. Read church history. That's why we should keep anniversaries and remember special dates when God delivered the nation and when God delivered the church. Yes, they're important dates, important anniversaries, and we should not forget what God did. Turn aside. But especially we should turn aside on the Sabbath and remember the Lord's day, because the greatest work of all, the resurrection of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. You remember how the Lord said, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." He says, sometimes turn aside and just have a look where you come from, where you were dug out of. Turn aside to see it and have a wee look. The Lord saved me from that. The Lord delivered me from that. Bless his name. Now I can go and face the Philistines because I know God's in my life. Go back to the place. So Samson, what I'm saying is he wants to go to his wedding humbled. He wants to go to his wedding appreciative of the Lord. He wants to go to his wedding, and among these Philistines and these 30 companions who he's going to deal with soon, he has to go among them, and he wants to be spiritually touched. He wants to be confident the Lord is with him. He wants to be refreshed in his soul. He wants to be revived. And so I suggest to you, that's why he turns aside to see the carcass of the lion, to see what God did. He's not mischievous, Samson. He's not fleshly, Samson. He's a man walking with God. Let us pray.